For the last several weeks together, we have been going through Mark's gospel, looking at what is it that Jesus says in his final days? What is in his heart? What is on his lips? What are the last things that he shares? And I know we have several people from out of town this week and some people who are guests. So let me review those seven sermons real quick if you weren't here. Well, I won't do that. But they've been difficult words. They've been hard words to hear. Now, the good news is the shadow of the cross has been over every word. The cross is coming. Christ intentionally goes to Jerusalem to serve us and to be a ransom for us. But the things he shares, not just with his enemies, but even with his friends, are very difficult words. And today we celebrate. We celebrate because of the words of grace, the words of victory that are offered. And it's not through Jesus. In Mark 16, this resurrection scene, we actually get it through another. This is important news, but yet it gets shared with another. You probably did this. I know I did, and it did not work well for me, using another to try to get some news out in grade school, asking my buddy, "Go ask so-and-so if maybe she likes me." Anybody else try? No? I'm the only one. Okay. I know when I met my wife at Twin Lakes Camp in Florence, I used those campers. I would say, "No, you go over to the girl at the pool. I'd be at the canoes. And you go tell that Sarah girl so-and-so." And the kids would run all the way over. And they tell Sarah. By the time it got there, it was about tax cuts and aardvarks or something. But I used those children to try to court my wife. God uses an angel. And angel literally means messenger. He sends a message to those who need a word, who desperately need a word. And by the way, that's just like our Father, when we need a word, to give us a word in our time of need. This isn't the first time an angel has ministered or spoken to somebody. It's really the bookends to Mark's gospel. You get into the very beginning of the gospel. This is the gospel of Jesus the Christ. It's John the Baptist very quickly, the baptism of Jesus, and there's God sending the Spirit. But then it's the wilderness temptation. That's the next thing. And what happens at the end of that? And angels were ministering to Jesus. It's just like the Father to send a word and an encouragement when we need that word. And that's what we find here in Mark 16, this word to these people who desperately need to hear a word. So if you have your Bibles, in verse 6, he basically says two things. And the first is this: don't be alarmed. Now, if you go back to verse 5, don't be amazed, don't be alarmed. If you go back to verse 5, what is it they're experiencing? What is it they're feeling? They were amazed. Or, depending on your translation, they were alarmed. And it's just like God to speak the word that we need to hear. He knows us. We have a high priest who can sympathize with our weakness. He knows who we are. And so in their point of need, right where they are, God says the perfect word through his angels. You don't have to be alarmed. You don't have to be amazed at this work that has been accomplished in you. In 1900 BC, Father Abraham died. You go back to 483 BC, the same thing can be said of Buddha, that he the words of their scriptures are, "with the utter passing away into which nothing whatever remains behind." 632 AD, Muhammad dies. Jesus is alive. And it's a word they, even though he's spoken it to them three times, even though there are passages about that throughout the Old Testament, they just can't wrap their heads around, how could someone do this? How could this good news be? And who, we've seen Jesus raise the dead, not just raise the dead, but Lazarus. In their day, there was this mythology that after 3 days, 4 days, the soul left the body. There's no chance for that body and soul to be put back together. And Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus did. But who's left now to raise Jesus? How could this be? And so they're amazed and they're alarmed. Where is that for you? Because of Easter, because of that good news. Where's that place in your life, an anxiety you're holding on to, that really, you know what? I shouldn't be amazed that God showed up and he did a work there. Or in a relationship you've been praying for. I shouldn't be amazed when God shows up and does a work. Now listen, I understand, having been here for almost a year now, it's been a hard year for some of us, with health issues, loss of loved ones, job issues, relationship issues. But I love the good news of Easter. Not only are we freed from eternal death, not only freed from our sins, but we shouldn't be surprised when God shows up and gives us a word. And the word is, you don't have to be amazed. You don't have to be alarmed. I'm a God who does these kinds of things. I love what Eugene Peterson says. You live in a world ruled by the God of Exodus and Easter. He will do things in you that neither you nor your friends would have supposed possible. He is not limited by anything you think you know about him. He's not limited by anything I think I know about him. Resurrection break. They don't have a clue, really, what could happen. They're all hiding. They're in dismay. And God breaks out. And the angel says, you don't have to be alarmed at this. You don't have to be alarmed, because this is how God works. Resurrection power is possible. How is it you need to hear that word this morning? In your own walk with God, in your own ministry with others, where God is saying to you, I can do this. I want to do this in your life. Don't let your insecurity or anxiety hold you back. Understand, I'm a God of Easter. And Jesus can do these things in you and through you. And then I love this second word. Verse 7. They are told to go and tell his disciples. But I love that it's tagged on to the end of this. Go tell the disciples and tell Peter. Make sure Peter knows. Make sure to tell Peter's. And as we walk through Mark's gospel, if you've been with me through this series, or you just read it for your own, it's embarrassing what happens with Peter. I know all about embarrassment at Easter. I think I was almost 30 years old. And we were serving at First United Methodist Church of Batesville, Mississippi, as an associate there and working with students. And my parents had called on Easter weekend and said, we'd love to have the kids. And at that time, we had two boys. And we said, well, we'll meet y'all halfway. How about we drive down Easter afternoon, get to see y'all, and we'll give the kids to you. You can have them for a day or two. And so we met at Vaden. If anybody remembers, there used to be a Stuckey's there. And get your pecan logs, however you pronounce that. But I remember stopping there on Easter Sunday to drop our kids off. And it was great to see my mom and dad and to have that moment there. But then my mother said something to me. Basically just two words. And it was embarrassing. It sent a cold chill down my spine. I was a little bit nauseated. And what she said was this. You're cold. I said, so what do you mean you're cold? She said, you're cold. I said, Mom, don't do this. She said, oh, I'm doing it. You're cold. I said, Mom, not here. Oh, yeah, you're cold. So I took one step towards Stucky, and she said, warmer. Another step closer to Stucky's, you're warmer. My mother had hidden my Easter basket in the Stuckey's. Still working that out in therapy. And so I walk in by the cashier, and you could tell by the gleam in her eye, every employee knew. And they were watching me just go through Stuckey's, you know. Go past the chicken lady. You're cold, you know, and I went through the whole store, and finally, the lady, they used to have a Dairy Queen in there, the lady at the Dairy Queen had mercy on me. She was doing, you know, one of these. Everybody in the store saw, here's this 30-year-old guy looking for his Easter basket. Embarrassing. You look at Peter's life in the Gospel of Mark. Let's just trace it very quickly. Mark 4, he's terrified. He's terrified over the winds of the sea. Mark 6, he's fearful when Jesus walks on water. Mark 8, he is so rebuked by Jesus that Jesus picks probably the worst word that you could call anybody. Peter, you're Satan to me. Get thee behind me, Satan. And then you get to Mark 9, and he's terrified. And he speaks, he's so scared at the transfiguration, he speaks hastily and speaks out of his head, not knowing what to say. And then Mark 14, we find him asleep. When his Savior is grieved to the point of death, Jesus, for his best friend, sleeps over and over and over. And then he denies him three times. By Mark 15, he's nowhere to be found at the cross. You just do the math in Mark's gospel. Every other chapter has Peter, specifically Peter, failing our Savior. And then there's other passages that include all the disciples and what they do, and they're stumbling and they're bumbling. But he's called out over and over again for stumbling. And the angel says, you go and tell them Jesus is alive. You tell the disciples, but make sure you also tell Peter that Jesus will meet him just like he said he would in Galilee. Easter is a grand reminder of the grace of God. It's a grand reminder that we serve a God of second chances, who does not hold us where we were, but says to us through Christ and faith in him, oh, what you can be and what you can have in Christ. We serve a God who just won't leave us alone. For Peter, who might have been left there, beating himself up, kicking himself. One gospel even says when he denied the Lord, Jesus looked at him and saw him in that moment. How would that take a hold of you? And so God knows exactly what Peter needs to hear. Make sure you bring Peter. He needs this word. And I don't think it's just Peter. I think it's Mark. Mark, I bet, is banking and holding on to these words for the rest of his life. You go back to Mark 14, most biblical scholars think it's him. You grew up in the 70s, you remember this song, Hey Ethel, Don't Look. Oh yes, they call him the Streak. Mark's the one we think they grabbed his outer garment and he streaked away when Jesus needed him. That's Mark. It's Mark who would later take his ball and go home in the book of Acts. It's Mark that breaks up maybe one of the deepest friendships and one of the most important ministry teams in all of Christian history, Paul and Barnabas. They split over Mark. You think he didn't hang on to these words, knowing he had stumbled and bumbled himself? Don't just tell the disciples. You go and tell Peter too. It's a word Peter desperately needed to hear. It's a word I know that Mark needed to hear. It's a word I need to hear. How do you need to hear that this morning? Where you've stumbled and said, boy, this particular temptation has got me, or life has gotten me, and I've blown it so many times that I just know he is done with me. He's never done. Not in this lifetime. He's always reaching, always searching. How is it you need to hear that word this morning, literally? To read it again and hear it said, if there's a struggle or a temptation in your life, to hear God say, it's a failure in your life, to hear God say, tell the disciples, but tell Linda. Tell the disciples, but make sure that wild child, Ben Butler, knows. God's a God of second chances. Or if there's a place of hurt and disappointment, here again, tell Corey, tell Wesley, let them know that I will meet with them. I'm a God who will be where they are, not just forgive over your sins, but I'm a God who will meet you where you are. I will meet you in Galilee. Thanks be to God for not just the power of the resurrection, but the very presence of God we can have through the Holy Spirit because of what Christ has won for us through his resurrection. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, for this word that you gave your disciples, we give you thanks. And Father, I pray that all of us will be open to whatever work your Son would have for us, that we would not be alarmed or amazed, but that we would be open, that he would choose us to do in us and through us whatever it may be through his resurrecting power. Father, we're open this morning to that good news of what he would like to redeem, what he would like to restore, how he would use us for his kingdom purposes. But also we thank you for this word of grace. This reminder again, no matter how many times we've blown it, that you're a God that intentionally reaches out to us. Father, however we need to hear and respond to that, I pray we would this morning. You have proven your power through your resurrection, Lord Jesus, but you've also proven your grace of what we can have in you eternally, but even now. And I pray that for us as we respond. And it is in your precious and holy name we pray this prayer. Amen.